open and informed discussion on the challenges schools, teachers, and students face during COVID-19. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7.
Busted Pencils, yeah, fully COVID full of information, particularly American history. Talking about Senator Rick Santorum's quick take on American history, quick takedown of so many people.
Do you have any context to add to this? Because it is easy to laugh at and make fun of, and good time to do so. But why did he say these things?
Well, I mean, so who's he speaking to? But understand, Evan, I appreciate that. So my sense of answering that question, and I said this before the break, is that actually when Santorum can break American history into a small group of Europeans escaping Europe for religious freedom, creating a nation, signing documents, and essentially a birth nation of religion and freedom, he's doing a very good job of remembering the American history curriculum as largely presented over the past 7,500 years.
It says I remember
fact.
It.
Right. I was going to say, so the idea, right, is that, in fact, when I used to teach, I would put up a timeline for American history. And this is with college students. And if you're out there, some of my students, call in and tell them that how incredibly crazy you felt after I put up the timeline. I would start at 1607. Okay. Because I was using, and then 1620. And do you know that the majority of the time, 1607 stood there and no one knew to fill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because even that, Jamestown, it's just not really that important, except when you bring in the pilgrims.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the mythology that we teach, America starts with pilgrims.
And they were so kind.
And they ate and they hung out with the Native Americans. And in fact, maybe this is where gave the Native Americans culture.
Gave them a little more than that, if you know what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, yeah, but it just, so that even that starting point, and even when you say the starting point of American history, 1607, well, that's colonialism,
mm-hmm.
right? But again, what do you mean by that? But so he's really putting forth this American first religious freedom, liberty for all, our founding documents. That's what this country was birthed.
Yeah.
It's in our DNA. This is why we do so much. And in fact, I will say, if you call us, no, actually, I'll say it even if you don't call us, this is dangerous. In fact, I know it's so dangerous that the evidence of its danger was on full display January 6th. On January 6th, when the Capitol I'm getting the right day, right?
Besieged,
yeah. Right?
Yes, the 6th, yes.
Yeah. Because we're talking, because last thing I want to say, that's the wrong date, Slucker.
Well, hey,
how dare you know? But, understand that 90%, and I didn't poll them, but I'm just, to get to the point of a fervor that you truly are there believing you're doing God's work, Rick's history was in the hearts of the insurrectionists.
A National Guardsman from Wisconsin was just arrested. He drove down to D.C. to participate.
So that's the part where it's like, it is fun to make fun of ignorance, stupidity. But then it's also to look at how incredibly dangerous, but yet how prolific and deep-seated that story is. And so when you say, what is the impetus behind this? This narrative carries forth an identity that allows people then to make decisions such as, I'm going to overtake the Capitol. I'm going to hang. I'm going to call for the death of. I'm going to, you know, the whole, this whole gets wrapped up in this really kind of, it's not really, it is truly distorted mythological approach to American identity. Okay? It's American, and I've called it the American Patriotic Supremacy
Sure.
curriculum. That's, you know, that's what it is. It's great. It works. So I always get really flustered and frustrated when you get somebody like Santorum, who has in the past talked about the dismal state of history learning in, yeah. In American public schools. And I'm like, Rick, I don't think you really believe that, because what you've just said in 2 minutes, it hits the hearts of, well, you can see how many people decided to go to the Capitol. Okay. The curriculum of mythology, of misdirection, of culture, of cultural supremacy is solid. It is wonderful. So then I said critical race theory, right? Which right now is all the attack. We're going after critical race theory. My first question is, and this came out of, where did I get this one? This was Newsweek. Great question. What is critical race theory, and why do some people want to ban it? Okay, I wanted to just start with that.
Please.
What is critical race theory? Okay, we've already said it's not being critical of another race
yeah.
and being allowed to do it. Okay. It's not that. So Santorum failed. He is not a practitioner. He actually really put forth incredibly racist, cultural, inaccurate, just defaming statement of that whole idea of no culture here, a blank slate here, is incredibly offensive.
It seems like his little speech was the definition of what critical race theory was developed
okay.
to address.
So you say, what is critical race theory? It is, well, in simplicity, the ability to help students, not the ability, a practice learning, to go, I don't think he's right. I mean, and I'm really, really oversimplifying
yeah.
it, but at its heart, hopefully students coming through a decent amount of multicultural education, looking at other points of view, and then critical race theory, looking at how structures and stories maintain systemic racism, then this would make, you would hopefully have more people being on the radio going, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, because I learned in school that he just was BSing the crap out of us and, in fact, was telling a lie, a myth, that actually elevated and continues to maintain white supremacy and a very singular brand, an Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christian brand.
That maintains its power through the law.
Right. Okay. So recognize. So why all the banning then of, quote, critical race theory? Because that's what's happening. And I'll just read a little bit here. This actually was on just Yahoo News today. Governor Brad Little has signed a bill that prohibits Idaho public schools. Okay, this is no longer was approved in the House
yeah.
of Idaho. No, this has now been signed into law. Okay,
it's
official.
Okay,
it's official now. Okay, because a couple weeks ago we talked about some of these being in the House, state houses. This is out of the House now. It's law. The bill banning critical race theory has become law in Idaho. Republican Governor Brad Little has signed a bill that now prohibits public schools, including public universities, from teaching the concept. Now, critical race theory is a concept that explains the way white supremacy and America's history of inequality and racism continue to have an impact on modern day society.
Is it normal to legislate what a public university can, like, I've never heard of that.
This is where, and so please, faculty out there who are listening to the show, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Historians, I need you on this one here to help explain that what has happened in Idaho. And in fact, going forward, I have to look here through, but there's a number of places. It's so this one is on Brad Little again, but we talked about Arkansas, Louisiana. I mean, this is happening all over. Truly banning... teaching. Understand that's what's happening. Banning knowledge.
It seems blatantly.
It's really, really fascist.
Yeah.
It's incredibly fascist.
Like borderline illegal as far as First Amendment
goes. It's like you can't outlaw the teaching of truth.
Yeah.
I know, and somebody's going, no, Tim, it's a theory. You know how theories are. It's a theory. Like, evolution is a theory. I don't have to believe. Critical race
Even
theory.
So.
No, okay. So let's drop critical race theory and then talk about some of the other things that are included in this bill, which is the idea that you're going to pose alternative scenarios for students to look at things that happened in the past in America.
Yeah.
Putting – that's illegal. Okay? That – now – this is where we say and sit down and go, like, look, most of us didn't take American history. We took what academically is best called heritage. It's a cultural elevation story. It's a,
well put.
It's a story that we like. Okay.
Well, well
it
said.
Throws in a couple facts. It throws in a couple dates, but then it puts together a story of an identity of a culture that believes in itself. People would say, well, what is that story? It's like I've asked students this over 20 years, and every one of them who can't fill in every name and date can tell you that America was founded. There were some bad things that happened, but it's been a progressive march yeah. towards awesomeness ever since.
Which, to get super high-minded, you know, as I like to do, can be useful when you're looking from the societal top down. How does a nation maintain its health?
Well, and some people made an argument like, look, it's good to have an identifying culture and stuff like that. However,
I get that.
Maybe, but again, at the expense of somebody else's culture, and that's the part we talk about, is that when you elevate a story that then takes a singular culture and makes it and says, you who all live here now, this is now your story too.
Yeah.
No. It's not your story, too. You know, it wasn't the story of the Irish leaving the potato family. Okay? They had their own story and rich history. It wasn't the story of, and these are all white people, right? In the 1900s, early, late 1800s, the Italians, the Germans, the Slovaks. Yes, that would be my background. You know,
represent.
Guess what? They had a culture that they brought with them. In fact, if you go back to Pittsburgh in the area where I grew up, that, what we now say, H-U-N-K-Y, hunky, meaning that combination of Hungarian, Polish, Slovak, that Eastern European, there's a culture there that actually is not the same culture that Ricky Santorum just gave us about. And that's a different white culture within Rick Santorum's singular culture.
And regardless of what the, you know, the how we teach education in the first years of school, you know, in the K-12, I got that message of the multicultural, multi-generational.
You heard it, right?
Yeah.
You heard it. And I said, we've been better, particularly over 20 years, of trying to infuse it. However, does it stick? Is it meaningful? Does it create critical citizens who look at Rick Santorum and go, the heck, what is he saying? Kind of now, maybe a little bit, but... again, I point to January 6th and go, actually, Rick's history is still strong. It is still out there. It is still disrupting, causing pain, taking and creating a superiority statement. And here's the other part that this, which he doesn't go into here, but that this is where Trump and all the other people then, they then take this story and put it out as under attack.
Oh, it's being leveraged in this under
okay. This is cancel culture at its finest, trying to take Rick Santorum's story down. The problem with using cancel culture is that we want this story canceled because it's wrong. It's mythology. It's painful. It's hurtful. It's busted pencils. It's 844-967-2789. Give us a call after the break. We are not the names that we've